It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to it. Another edition of Let's Talk. It's a Friday morning. Jay-Z along with Chaz Hepler is joining us in studio this morning. Chaz, good to have you along.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fair to middling. Never better, never worse.
Well, there you go.
That's, yeah, so starting off good. And we've been promoting the fact that also joining us in studio this morning is Tim Barr from the Vision Group. Tim, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
So, Tim, you reached out. I know a lot of questions. I'm sure you folks are pretty busy right now, considering where we're at with the reassessment.
Yeah, we're talking to a lot of property owners at the informal reviews by phone and over at the former STS building.
And what are some of the things that you're hearing, or what are the most frequent issues that people are having?
Well, the primary purpose of these informal reviews is to verify the data. We're not actually allowed to debate value at that stage by law. So we're talking to people about what's finished, what's not. You know, this area of the house, we thought it was finished above the garage. Not, you know, if it has finished walls, finished floor, finished ceiling, heat, if it has three of those four things, it's finished. But if it doesn't, it's not. We've had, we're doing commercial informal reviews. We've got a lot of properties coming in that used to be a store, that used to be a repair shop, that now they've just got boxes stored. It hasn't been rented for a decade, and we can't always tell that. So we start off with what is it used for from what we can tell in county records, and people let us know what's there so we can make changes to the data.
Mm-hmm. You know, so the commercial information has gotten out now. I know that was behind the residential stuff, Tim. So the commercial property owners got their information
yes.
now?
Yes, all the commercial values, the big batch went out about a week and a half ago. There were a last batch of about 1,000 that went out maybe last week.
Right. Okay.
And everybody should have those by now. And a couple key dates. The deadline to call to schedule an informal review on a residential is today, 4:30. The call center will still be open come again on Monday, but that's only for commercial scheduling. We have to cut off the residential at the end of the month. So the residentials have been out for many, many weeks, and even people that got them way back on like May 5th, they could still call today and schedule an informal review. The commercial folks have until the 11th to make their calls.
You know,
the 9th. The 9th to make their calls.
I don't envy the position you're in as the outfit that was selected to come in and do this. And Schuylkill County is a bunch of tough folks who feel that, you know, some are getting raked over the coals. I can be honest with you. My first property tax assessment paper that Vision sent me, my taxes went down. My taxes did go down. And I know people are saying, well, mine didn't. And, you know, you're hearing a lot of the mine didn't. Mine did. I can honestly tell you my property value, my property taxes, not my property value, went down. However, like a week or so ago, I got another letter. And now my assessed value went up from the first one. Why did that happen?
The purpose of getting this is ultimately to have the right value. To do that, we need the right data. The period of time we're in, informal reviews, is my chance to correct anything I find. Most of what we find comes from property owners coming to us.
So, I didn't code anybody, but my value went up.
Right. Other things we discover in additional QC and things that we're doing during this period. I'm not sure what your personal circumstances were, but the concept is a fair question. There were revised notices, and it'll say revised right up there by the date, mm-hmm. where we discovered something that we feel we were too low with the additional number. And you might not have come in for an informal review with the original number, but I don't want to surprise you on July 1st with a higher number. So we sent out revised ones now to give people a chance to do an informal review if they want.
So my question is, how did that number jump? Like, what would have been a scenario of what would have been discovered that was missed? Because all the paperwork that I got the whole way through was exactly what I was looking for and exactly what was in the house. But now it jumped considerably.
I'd have to look at the parcel to see right. what it was, but some of the things that we were reviewing were some lakefront properties that weren't coded as waterfront. If you're right on the water, and this, I'm not, again, I don't know your circumstance, but this is, you asked for an example. There were some properties. If your property is right on the waterfront, it's going to sell for more money. And we have a code for that. You set a switch, the computer applies whatever rate I decided was extra for waterfront. And we discovered that there were some that didn't have that. We discovered on the commercial properties that we did not have the right rate on our canopies. Those things that are over the gas pumps and that stick out in front of a hotel, there was a typo on that, clerical error. They were being depreciated way more than they're supposed to. So we changed a bunch of those, and that's why there were a lot of commercials that went out as revised in this last group. At the end of the day, anyone can look at most of their data on the website and, of course, go through it piecemeal, you know, at one of these informal reviews. There's always a reason for a value to be different. I was talking to a property owner earlier in the week, and, you know, there's a perception that it's a black box. You know, the computer calculated the value. Trust me, there's no AI involved. There's no – the computer does the math the same way a spreadsheet does the math for you. You put in and say, when this is true, add X. You know, if there's more than one bathroom, how much is each additional full bath add to the probable selling price of a property? And that's what the computer does.
Okay. So speaking of the website, what info can we get on the website now? I know there was talk about putting up, like, your neighbor's valuations and those kind of things. What can you see right now?
Great question. So for the last over a year, we've had reassessment data gradually being added to the website. The decision was made early on that the physical descriptions that we were collecting would be put on the county website. It's technically my website, Vision's website, but you link to it through the county's map viewer. People call it a camicard. If you go to vgsi.com/Schuylkill and click property info, it goes to the same place without having to go through the map first. That website was set up early on in the project, and it has contained the physical description of the property, the sketches, picture of the primary house, and so on. The only values there are the current year official values, because that's what title companies and others need to use. In fact, the reassessment values that were mailed, you'll notice it had Vision's logo on it. That's Vision's preliminary value. It's not even required by law to send such a thing, but we believe that it's important because we want to stimulate informal reviews. The official values get mailed on or before July 1st. The county is responsible for mailing those. We're going to help them with that. But that's when they become official. That's when the appeal period starts. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure. The website can't show new values until they're official.
Okay.
So after July 1st, as quickly as possible, we update the website every Sunday. We send the files and the values to the printer. We get them in the mail. As quickly as possible, the plan is to make the new values available on the website so that people can still see the old value, but they can also see their neighbor's values.
Okay. I don't want to put you on a pop quiz, but I think it would be helpful for our listeners, me as well, Jay-Z, if you could break down and just in plain old everyday terms, how these calculations are figured out. Because I mean sitting and listening in the first meeting the second time around at North Schuylkill, I'll admit I was confused walking out of there. How from the assessed value is the property tax value figured out?
It's a challenging question to answer. And I've been doing this 40 years, and I've spoken to a lot of property owners, and I've been on a lot of media. As a licensed appraiser, which I am and my staff is, it's called a Certified Pennsylvania Evaluator. We have it's not a degree, it's a certification in mass appraisal. And I do teach a three-hour class on how mass appraisal works and how the values work. That doesn't do us any good here on the radio. The show's not that long, and everybody would tune out and go listen to something else. The total details, getting into the weeds of it, to teach other assessors or attorneys or realtors or professionals how this works, literally is a three-hour class that I offer. But let's deal with some of the high-level answers to the questions. First and foremost, uniformity is king. This is an important point. When a fee appraisal is done, they're only focused on one parcel. A different appraiser could come in, they could get a different answer. I have to get the same answer every time given the same set of facts. So I have to build those spreadsheet formulas, if you will, to get a predictable result given the same piece of data. So we call that a model. It's a formula, same thing. That template, pick your word, that allows a computer to assist me in valuing 92,000 pieces of real estate consistently. So uniformity is more important than your value. Now that may not, to you it's not. To you, you get your bill, you care about your property. But from a law standpoint, from a uniform standards of professional appraisal practice, the guidelines that govern us, from the International Association of Assessing Officers. I'm not trying to throw buzzwords out, but these are the entities that monitor me. There was an IAAO study done at the beginning of the reassessment. There's going to be one done at the end. That study looks at the overall results, not single parcels. It looks at was I uniform and consistent in how I did all the bi-levels in Pottsville. And all the commercial apartment buildings, was I consistent in how I did those? So number one issue, uniformity is king. The second issue is we're not at the level of detail of a fee appraisal. We don't go inside the homes. So what are our pieces of data that matter the most? Number one, what township is it in? And within that, what neighborhood is within that township? Because I have different prices per acre and different prices for living area depending upon where the property is. So we talk about, the location. It's the old joke, is location, location, location. That's very true. The second thing is, what's living area? The first floor, second floor, finished, unfinished, bi-levels and split levels have lower level living area. How much living area is there in the house? Because that's where most of the value is. It's in the land and it's in the living area. People can't appeal the value that I put on a deck. I put a value on a deck because show me two houses that are exactly the same, but one has a deck on it. It's going to bring a little more money. So I might have $5 a foot on a deck or something. It costs a lot more than that to build it. Those are contributory values and help me get the individual properties better. But back to the living area for a minute. Well, actually, let me take a step back. And again, I'm trying not to get too wonky for everybody. What are some of the things that can affect the land other than location? Does it have public water and public sewer available? If the whole township has public water and public sewer, it doesn't matter. But if only part of it does, that's a big deal, because the ones with public water and public sewer generally are going to bring a higher price. Is it on a paved road or a dirt road? I was talking to a guy the other day. Township road is dirt up to the end of his driveway. That can make a difference. We can make an adjustment to our land value because it's on a dirt road or a one-way road. You can't get there without going out and going half a mile down the road and, doing some sort of a crossover. Things about the land, there's factors like water and sewer, the most obvious, that we use to turn the screws of the old carburetor and say, well, the land's a little more or a little less. And this is still at the group level. Multiple parcels, mass appraisal. For the living area, it's things like, does it have an unusually larger number of bedrooms? A larger number of bathrooms, full baths and half baths. Does it have air conditioning? I know I couldn't live in a house without air conditioning. I'm a big guy. I need air conditioning. A house with air conditioning will have a little higher rate than a house without air conditioning. So two identical houses, one with AC and one without. All of these little adjustments help me get a more predictable, accurate value. It's important to remind folks, you can help us make that data right. You can't appeal what we did with it. If I put $2 a foot extra, I'm just picking a number because of air conditioning, you can't say, it should have been a dollar. There's court cases that say you can't appeal the pieces of an assessment, you can only appeal the total. So in the end, it's what the total is. But these are, you know, it's a legitimate question. A lot of people are analytical like me, mm-hmm. and they want to know, mm-hmm. how did these guys come up with this number? Because
right.
it certainly doesn't seem logical or reasonable. There's got to be something behind it. And there's basically a list of about 20 things that bend the line, change the rate in these different conditions. And I'll touch on one more, and then I'll take another question. Outbuildings. Outbuildings and yard items. Everything from a large pole building to a detached garage to a hardscape pavers that have a picnic table sitting on them in the backyard. We listed, data collected, everything, because the data collectors are just data collectors. They're not appraisers. Any outbuilding or yard item under 200 square feet, we put a zero value on it. I'm not arguing about a 180-square-foot shed with anybody. Any outbuilding that calculated to be less than $200, we took it to zero. Again, this is not accurate to within $200 in appraisal anyway. So the rates that I use for my outbuildings, I'm very careful to use contributory value rates. What's it cost to do an in-ground pool? Used to be $20,000. Now it's more like $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to do an in-ground pool. You're going to find fractions of those numbers on mine because the added value in a sale for an in-ground pool is, you know, no offense to the folks that sell pools, you don't do it to add value. You do it so your kids can swim in your backyard. The contributory value of that pool or that detached garage is below its cost. It's even below. It could be brand new with almost no depreciation. It still doesn't add what it cost to the sale. So that's how we handle all the outbuildings.
Okay. All right.
How about a barn?
No, same thing. And remember what I said about use on the commercials? Well, that's true for some of the barns too. I mean, there's a lot of barns that might have started their life as a dairy barn, and mm-hmm. then it became a horse barn, and now it's a sheep barn, or it's just got boxes of old crap that probably should have been taken.
That's my barn. You've arrived. Yes.
Yeah. If it's got some functional use, then you know it gets some value. But most folks look at those numbers and they're like, "Yeah, okay, they put $10,000 on my huge barn. I'm not going to argue." You know, but you don't get to see, unfortunately. Maybe fortunately for me, because I don't have to argue value about the pieces, which they can't do. The website does not have any of the breakdown. It'll have the totals on there, but right. it doesn't put the piecemeal values on there.
Okay. Now, in simple terms, the Homestead Act and how people can apply and qualify and go through that process.
Okay. Homestead. Hopefully, they have already signed up. Most of the people in the county that live in the county have their primary residence here. Have probably already signed up for the Homestead program, and they're getting whatever the school district can offer through the gaming money that funds the school district Homestead. That's been around for many, many years.
Oh yeah.
If you're signed up for Homestead for school and getting it on your school, you're good. You're done. When the commissioners adopt, they've advertised that they're going to adopt it, and their plan is for the county to offer a county Homestead exclusion up to $20,000 of assessment. And if you've listened to the shows earlier this week at the commissioner's meeting and so forth, what does that mean? It means that if you have a $100,000 property, the first $20,000 doesn't get taxed. So you get taxed as though it's only worth $80,000 for county purposes. So if the county mills are 4 mills, it's about $80 that comes off your county tax bill. If you happen to live in a $40,000 double wide in a mobile home park, you would get your tax bill cut in half for county. And if you live in anything $20,000 or less, it'll be a zero for county tax on there. To enroll, hopefully they already have, because the deadline was March 1st. We can't change. There's nothing in the law that lets them extend the deadline. But this will continue in perpetuity. So unless a future board of commissioners decides to take it away, which frankly would befuddle me, but I've seen it happen. There was a county to our north that did a homestead exclusion during their reassessment and then later decided that's where they wanted to raise taxes, so they took it away. in this case, because it's part of the reassessment, they can offer this reduction without raising the millage. It just, the millage won't go down quite as much when it gets balanced. The benefit to the property owners that across the board, but part of the reasoning behind it, considering it, was this. There's not a connection officially between what you own and what you make and your ability to pay. But, you know, I'm paid well, and I live in a nice house down in Dauphin County. If you live in a less expensive property, it's reasonable to assume you probably have less ability to pay big tax bills. So by doing something that's very progressive like this, everybody gets the $80 off. That's a big deal to somebody who's paying $160 a year in taxes. It's not a big deal to someone who's paying $10,000 a year in taxes. Oh, they got $160 off on their bill. Off on $160 is half their bill. $80 on a $10,000 bill. Okay, yeah, great. Thank you. It helps the less valued properties afford their taxes.
Okay. Well, you've acquiesced me right into my next question when you brought up about listening to the commissioners' meetings and stuff. Yes, we do air them here on WPPA, and there's been a lot of buzz about, you know, wait till the schools are where it's going to get you. So I have a couple questions based on that. I have some experience there. Were the schools provided the base assessment numbers yet?
No.
Okay. So they can't reestablish their millage until they get that information.
They can't reestablish their – no one can reestablish their millage until after November 15th when the commissioners authorize the assessment office to certify the new tax roll. The formal appeals need to be done first. Now, I've met with the school districts. I've met with many of them. We've had several meetings up at the IU, and I've met with municipal officials as recent as this week. They know what this year's budget – well, the schools are still setting 2025's budget, but they're going to have their pre-reassessment budget number. Schools are always capped by the aid ratio, by the state index,
correct,
which ranges from 2% to 5% most of the time. They're capped by that. So they're going to have the schools and, frankly, the county and the township, everybody will have to do two votes to set their budget for the next time. County municipal, they'll set their budget when? Between November 15th and the end of the year. They will do a vote. In the case of the county, they'll say, well, we were 19.23 mils. And to be revenue neutral after the appeals, we have to set our millage at, let's say, 4. They, 5 seconds later, can say, but we need more money to cover these unfunded state mandates or whatever the reason. It doesn't matter. They can do a second vote to say we're going to raise it up to 4.4. They can't go any higher than that. This is the only time that a county or a municipality has a regular cap on their millage rate is when the is during a reassessment. The school districts have the same cap all the time, but the same rules apply. Two votes, one to set it to the same budget levy, and one to raise it if they feel they have to.
Right. So that's the part that, you know, I think when people are hearing, well, wait till the schools, there's a fear factor coming out. Well, you know, the schools are going to bury you because it's the higher price of your tax bill now. Well, but they can't. I mean, they have to reestablish their millage. And most of them probably are going to be under 5% the way I'm looking at the valuations coming out. They're going to be under 5, where some are at 60. I just read in an article that only one news source covered. Anyway, that, you know, that the millage now in the northern Schuylkill County School District is 60 mils. They may be down to about
10 or 11.
Yeah.
Right now, the average increase for the county is about 5. Anybody can figure this out. If you look at the notices that I've sent for county, I use 19.23 mils for the old and 3.648 for the new. How did I get it? I took 19.23 and I divided by 5, which is where I think it's going to be in November for county. The commissioners and I have discussed this, and we're going to do something to try to help mitigate that fear about the schools. the schools will do
well,
that.
One commissioner could be quiet and stop saying it. That would probably be a good start.
Well, no, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but the schools have to do what we've just described. Right. But people don't, frankly, they don't believe me. You know, right. We'll see. We'll believe it when right. we see it, that the taxes are really going to go down. Right. So we put that estimate on the bill for on the preliminary notice with county, where other counties, including one to our north, didn't do it, and they're getting a lot of bad press because their vendor wasn't willing to do an estimate. For the schools, we're going to include on these July notices mm-hmm. a total old and a total new.
Oh, so we're going to incorporate the county
municipal
Tim,
school
you are,
combined.
You are a dream come true. I was there when you were asked that, and it was like, no way were we doing that. But now you're going to do it. I am so ecstatic about
yes.
that. So people can really see what their tax yeah. bill will be.
I mean, obviously, ultimately, the schools have to lower their millage, but it'll be very obvious because the old tax base is known, and the new tax base will be known by everybody in November. So anybody can divide one number by the other and see, well, you better lower your millage by this. It's impossible to hide a tax increase in a reassessment. But we're going to give an estimate. I'm going to calculate what I think every school district's millage is going to be. And I'm going to put I'm not going to break it out. Let me be clear. You're not going to look at the notice and say, oh, well, the county was this, and the municipal was this, and the school was this, and the total was, no, I'm just going to do a total. That gives me some fuzziness between the three.
Right.
But for every municipality, there will be a composite millage rate determined. I'm probably going to have to use 2024 millages as my base because I have to send this to the printer by the middle of next month, which starts tomorrow. Right. And I need them, or whatever, starts Sunday, I guess. By the middle of June, I have to send this to the printer, and all the schools probably won't have set their millage rate by then. So it'll be 2024's millage forecasted for what I think it's going to be in 26.
Okay. Now, we got a question from a listener out there.
Okay.
Who went in the back door, but we'll there. People have questions. We want to get them answered. His question is, how is it that my taxes have gone way down, but my clean and green went way up?
Okay. That's not the first time I've had that question.
All right. Well...
30 years ago, the clean and green values were based upon calculations that my father actually did. What is farmland worth based on its capability of growing crop and pasturing animals and trees? Now the state publishes the rates for clean and green, and we cannot exceed their rates. So we use the state's rates. I drop the pennies, but we use them... Always rounded down to the whole dollar. So the state sets the rate. So the part of the answer is the value per acre under clean and green for tillable, open, non-tillable, forested land comes from the state, and it's not the same as the 30-year-old rates. Much like the market rates have gone up 2.5 times in 30 years, and the predetermined ratio has gone from 50% to 100, so that's where we got our 5 times factor. And the millages go down 5 times, clean and green properties benefit from the 5 times reduction in millage too. But they still have to be valued at today's agricultural use value. And that's made up of three things. All the buildings are valued exactly the same as they are under market. You don't get a clean and green discount from on your buildings. The first acre is typically at market. If it's got buildings on it, the first acre might be worth $48,000. That's where the water, the sewer, the road access, it contributes. My granddad used to say, can't raise kids and cows on the same acre. There are certain parcels and property types, mostly vacant land, where the first acre is cheaper. But the first acre might be higher because the market is higher. So it, given the parcel, it could be because the first acre is there and it wasn't before. The one under the house, how it was valued, and it could also be just because the rates from the state are higher than the 30-year-old rates or higher than 5 times the 30-year-old rates.
Mm-hmm. Casey Owen joins us now.
I just have one more question.
That's fine. Just let her know because she's sitting here and she really will be chiming in as well. And we appreciate her joining us on the program. That was terrible. I couldn't come up with a better line to be chiming
in.
Adding valuable.
She's valuable commodity. Yeah, I know. Fresh off the boat from Greece. She's ready to rock and roll. Go. But anyway, I just have one more question, if I may, Tim. So when the initial assessment came out, and you provided the 50% rate versus the 100% rate. How did we get to the 100% rate at taxation time now when the commissioners just put it to get some kind of resolution from a solicitor at like the last meeting or the one before? Like, was that already predetermined? Is that determined by law? How did that happen?
Well, I'll give you the details of the history, but before I do that, this is a straw man, honestly. It's been circulated that, oh, that's a tax increase and that it's some manipulation. It's not. The millages are half because we're going from 50% to 100. So without taking too many minutes to explain it, here's the short. 30 years ago, counties could not go to 100%. The law did not let them. It was dumb, but you had to give the property owner, oh, I think your property is worth $100,000, but I'm going to tax it at $50,000, which makes you feel good about it. That's stupid, but that was the law 30 years ago. I would send people the notice at half what I think it's worth, but we had to do that 30 years ago. Now we don't have to. The law changed. We can do 100%. We can just tell people what we think it's worth, and we can assess them at what we think it's worth, and the millages can just be that much lower. When the RFQ was developed and they had consultants, the RFQ documents that the existing predetermined ratio was 50%. It was discussed at all of the interviews with the two vendors. It was discussed with the county manager, the county director of tax at the time. It was discussed with the commissioners that they wanted to go to 100%. So when I released my preliminary values, which are not the official ones from the county yet, we put them at 100% because, again, I don't want to tell people, oh, I think your $100,000 property is really only worth it. I feel it's misleading, to be honest, to keep it at anything other than 100. So my numbers are at 100 because I said the certification happens in November, but before the county mails their official values, they are taking official action to formalize a desire that has been in place for 3 years. And that's the honest answer to that. And okay. It does not cost anybody a dollar. It just means all the millages, including the school millages we were talking about, are half of what they would be if they'd stayed at 50%.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a bum's rush. I just wanted to introduce you. So you're booked for the entire program. It's up to you.
Well, and it was a surprise that I was available this morning to be in studio.
Well,
so
it was just a bad time he called me, but we hooked up.
Yeah,
that was
good. So one of my questions that I had was on the letter, it said, you know, this isn't your final number. It may change. When do we know when that will change and how much could that fluctuate by?
The final values will be mailed, the official ones that come from the county, on or before July 1st. I plan to put them in the mail the week before so people hopefully can get them. But worst case scenario, they go in the mail on the 1st of July, which I think is a Tuesday. I have to look at the calendar, but it's a day. and it'll take probably 5 days before people receive them. And they'll have 40 days from the date I mailed it to appeal. So they'll have, you know, at least 30 days to decide whether they want to file the appeal form from when they get it to when the deadline is, and that's a hard deadline.
It is a Tuesday.
Okay. I get a few things right every once in a while. That will be the official values leading into what they can appeal, and those even aren't official until November, but it starts a more official process. Between now and then, I can do anything I feel appropriate to make the values better. That includes talking to property owners over the phone, and having face-to-face informals, and sometimes, most of the time, those are data corrections that cause values to go down. Oftentimes, they don't change. Sometimes, they go up. We spoke at the beginning of the show that we discovered there were some parcels that we did not have the right we did not like our number. We found things in our data that we wanted to change, and we actually already sent out some revised notices in this window. There won't be any more revised notices going out at this point. If we discover something through, and people don't tell on their neighbors. That doesn't happen. But if I find something wrong, I'm obligated to make it right. And the assessment office feels the same way. The commissioner's office feels the same way. We don't want to, there shouldn't be nepotism. There shouldn't be any favoritism. There shouldn't be, just who you know gets you a discount. Nobody's behaving that way. If something's wrong, well, is it described right or isn't it? And if that change to the description causes the value to change between now and July, there is no limit on what the change might be, because ultimately the property owner gets the final say. They can file an appeal on whatever the number is and present their opinion of value and evidence to support that. And they can present descriptive stuff and photos to an appeal board if they want.
Okay. Yeah, I know that I got my notice in and it said, this could change. I'm like, I don't want to get too excited about this number if I didn't know if that was going to change based on what my neighborhood ended up looking like.
I'm not making any wholesale changes. My formulas are locked in.
Gotcha.
There were a couple of things I mentioned about the data entry, the clerical error we had on commercial canopies, and that was something that we batch changed a bunch of stuff, but we're not doing any more of that. It's just things we discover that require the data to be made better. Those properties that were on the waterfront and didn't have the box checked for waterfront, they got revised notices, and they'll have a chance to appeal that as well. But honestly, the values are better now than they were without that code. That was the problem. They were valued the same as the ones that were three blocks back, and they sell for more.
Okay. So I know that you said just a little bit ago that you're working at the 100% of the value, but if the commissioners, could they say, we want to bump that down to 90% of the value, or we want to choose a different percentage of value?
The commissioners could pick any predetermined ratio under 100 that they would wish, but you guys have heard me today. I don't pull my punches, and I've been doing it long enough that I don't care if people don't like my opinions. That would be misleading, because if I told people I'm going to tax them at 80% of the value, then all the millages are going to be 20% higher to compensate for it.
Right.
It's just a shell game. So why do that? And they've wanted from the beginning to be upfront. If I tell you your property's worth $300,000, and it's not worth $300,000, you should challenge me. Mm-hmm. You should take it to the appeal board. If I tell you it's worth $280,000, when I really think it's worth $300,000, if I give you an assessment of $280,000, you might not appeal it. Well, I denied you the chance to really evaluate it. So I think it's misleading to use any predetermined ratio under 100. And that's why they're going through the formality of having that. They basically added that and piggybacked that on the homestead approval that they want to do, because they need to make that official so that we can include it in the tax estimate. And as we said earlier, there will be a tax estimate on the official notices too. And that tax estimate won't just be county. It'll be the county plus the municipal plus the school all summed up in one number. So people will really know where they're likely to land, absent an appeal. And by the way, schools are not going to appeal. There's no reason for a school district to challenge the values. It'll all be property owners, because the schools don't gain any money or lose any money. The revenue neutral thing happens in November, so it'll just be the property owner and their evidence, and then the board.
Okay.
And that revenue neutral is only for the 2027 tax year, correct? Like the cap.
The first vote brings it down. The cap is applied with the second vote. The following year, everybody can do whatever they were able to do before the reassessment. Schools are always capped. Right. At the regular rate, the county municipalities aren't capped, so they, the county raised taxes this year, right? They'll be able to raise taxes whatever they deem appropriate 2 years from now, because it's not capped like it wasn't capped this year.
Okay.
But it's capped in the year of a reval.
Okay. Now, a lot of people are pushing for this to not be certified. Can you walk us through the process of certifying versus not certifying? Is there a benefit to one or the other?
Honestly, the concept of certifying or don't certify is, be polite, it's a mantra or a talking point for those that don't want to see the project done, period. Mm-hmm. When you've looked at the values in this county and you see how many are going, their value, taxes are going down because they're, mm-hmm. and we've told a third of the people in the county, you're going to pay less. To take that away from them in November is not very likely. And to say, well, we're just going to keep using the 30-year-old numbers. Certification is defined in the law as the chief assessor providing a report to all the taxing bodies that says this is your value. Now, the chief assessor in this county is not going to – she's got to either certify the reassessment values that we mail in July, modified by the appeals, or she's got to certify the same tax roll the schools just are using for their billing, the old numbers, which are on the website. She's got to certify one or the other so everybody can do their budget. Now, she'll certify whichever roll the majority of the commissioners tell her to certify. And I don't foresee it being anything other than this finishing because, again, you've gone to all the expense of this. It's not a tax increase, even though people claim it is. The 50% to 100 isn't a tax increase, even though some folks have claimed that it is. It's a burdensome process to go through, but it's better now than it was with those old values. Similar properties in the same block paying twice the tax that somebody else was. That has to get fixed. And honestly, my informal reviews have been a fraction of what I expected. I was ramped up for 20 informals at a time, mm-hmm. and we have had a peak of maybe 10 at a time. Why is that? Is it the tax estimate that we put on the notice? That helps. I think it's because people realize this was needed, and they're accepting. They may not love the number, but if it's in the ballpark, I think that's what's going on.
Well, I think we might have a call, Tim, so let's see what our listeners have to say. Hi, you're on the air live with Jay-Z, Chaz, Casey, and Tim Barr. Good morning.
Well, this is the other Casey, Maria Casey.
Hi, Maria.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Nice talking to you, Jay-Z. It's been a while. Mr. Barr.
Yes.
Seriously. The reason why there aren't informal appeals is because they refuse to discuss how the assessment values were reached. And I took one, so I know. All they wanted to do, your people, was go over and double-check how many bedrooms you had, how many bathrooms, to see if they missed something. So that's why people aren't taking them. And are you seriously sitting here telling the taxpayers that raising the assessed value from 50% to 100% will not adversely impact them? Answer that question.
Okay, I'll answer the second question first. I am absolutely saying that because Section 8823 of assessment law says millages must be lowered by whatever the new assessed value is. And that means that a higher predetermined ratio mathematically is exactly half the millage rate. It's mathematically impossible for this to be any worse for any property owner, not any of them. This is a global topic. It's not like your property could be higher or lower, the individual things that happen at informals and formals. No, there's no fuzziness to this.
There's changing, a lot of questions. Here's the issue. You don't even have to answer the second question.
Let me answer the second question because the people on the line might want to know. The law also says that informal reviews are not allowed to debate or discuss value. Literally is written in the law. We can only discuss tabular data, things that are physical description. We have to wait for a formal appeal so that you're in front of a three-panel board to present things that relate to value. So,
and that's why people aren't taking them.
Okay.
They don't want to, unless you add an extra bathroom or you add an extra bedroom or something like that. That's why they're not taking them, not because they're real happy. Now, let's get back to the question that you're obviously have been told to gloss over. So are you telling me in 2027, the school districts are not able to tax you at 100% of the assessed value?
Everyone will be taxing at 100% of the assessed value.
So you go from getting taxed at 50% of your assessed to 100%. That will cripple some taxpayers.
That does not raise anyone's taxes a dollar. The school districts have to lower the millage rate by whatever the increase is. So this is not...
It will raise it based on the millage school districts accept starting in 2027.
The school districts will set a new millage rate. Let's use one of the examples. What was one of the millages you said,
so,
Chaz?
For example, Shenandoah Valley just set a 60.5 something or something like that millage rate coming into 2025-26 school year. So based on the base numbers they get, they have to drop their millage rate to...
Right. So let's run that scenario. So if they're at 60 mills right now, and let's say for the sake of argument that the entire school district goes up in value 2.5 times, but we also changed the ratio, so the assessed values went up 5 times, which is the number I've always talked about. The values are the market values, 30-year change, 2.5 times, 50% to 100, that's 2 times 2.5, that's 5, right? 2 times 2.5 equals 5. The 60 mills becomes 12 when they set their budget for 26. Not an option. They can't leave it at 60. They have to lower it to 12. Not it's required by assessment law for them to do so. They can, if they are allowed a 5% increase, then they could maybe raise it to 12.6 with a second vote. When they do their 2027 budget, they will be starting at 12 or 12.6. They're not back to 60 again. The 50% is already done. It's baked into the soup with the reassessment. It's forced with that reassessment law that says they got to be revenue neutral. Changing the predetermined ratio during the reassessment guarantees that no taxpayer will pay more, a dollar more, by a result of that change in the percentage.
That's voodoo math. That you're entirely wrong. 2027, the taxpayers will see an increase in their school district taxes.
Well, respectfully, Marie, I wish I could share with you or go through this with you in more detail and show you the 8823 in the play. This is not a question, and it's inaccurate. Not to be disrespectful, it's not accurate information to tell people that they're going to pay more in the following year.
I've had a CPA look at this, and he absolutely agrees with me. So people a lot smarter than I am.
Well, I hate to say it, but I guess we'll find out. We'll do the estimates this year, and people will get their school bills next year, about a year from now, and they will be revenue neutral.
That's another voodoo math term you use. The long and short of it is people are going to see an increase in their school taxes because it's now 100%. So if my home were valued in the past, well, let's choose my figures, $42,000. It's now 305 with a newly assessed value, and it's 100% of 305. So when a school district taxes, and I don't know if it'll be how many mills, but let's just take a mill. It's 100% of the $305,000 value.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to be paying taxes on.
But the millage is 1/5 of what it would have been. The millage has gone down. So
they
instead
can
of 60
by
mills,
any millage they want starting in 2027.
No, they can't go over the 5% or 2%.
No, school districts are bound by the Act 1 index. They can't. That's the only governing body that can't raise your taxes 200% in a budget year, but your county and municipal can. But a school district can't do that. They're bound by the Act 1 index.
They are. I agree with that part. But because it's now 100% of these newly assessed values.
Right, but they'll be starting at a lower millage rate. They have to start at a lower millage rate.
Lower, but then as it goes on, you'll agree with me, the millage increases.
Well, your millage will increase anytime anybody raises your taxes. It'll just be set starting at a lower millage rate than the one they're currently at. Like, if you lived in the Shenandoah Valley School District, if they're at 60 now, they're going to drop to 12. It'll stay at 12. They can't miraculously say in 2027, well, hell, we're going to 60% again. They can't do that.
2028.
Now, can the county?
It's still even if the millage is lower, Chaz, because the newly assessed values are in general 5, 6, 7 times the prior assessed values.
But the millage will be 5 to 7% less.
It produces the same revenue. What might help property owners, we talk about the school districts, but let me explain something.
That the school district taxes, whatever we're paying now, we're going to just keep paying,
no,
right?
I'm not saying schools don't raise taxes over time. They do, but they're governed by the cap. What I'm saying is that it's inaccurate to say that the predetermined ratio change from 50 to 100 raises anybody's taxes now or in the future.
Maria, you're correct in that. You will, I mean, maybe some people will get lower if it works the same way as the county numbers. But yes, you are correct in saying your school district taxes are going to stay about where they're at, but the millage will be less. So when they raise them, it'll be less of a raise than where they're currently at.
Yes.
Is that a way to break
sure.
it down?
Yeah, the school's not going to lose any money from the reassessment
no.
either.
And they can't because
they don't gain or lose.
Because control over your school taxes is in Harrisburg.
In your school taxes.
Right.
It's within the law, within the taxing law, as to what a school district
right.
can do.
No, you won't. You'll just see lower increases. You won't see a lower number. You're right.
And to explain this to a way that relates more to property owners, because we talk about the school budgets and people maybe don't, you know, 60 mils and. If you look at your tax bill, what's on it? It has the assessed value of your property times a millage equals the face amount that you pay. That's what the bill is. Assessment mm-hmm. times millage equals money. The school district has the big assessment of all the sum of them times the same millage equals money. The money can't change for the school. But the assessments went up five times, so the millage rate goes down five times. A times B equals C. If A goes up five times, B goes down five times.
Equals four. And the end of my talk today is your school district taxes will be more starting in 2027.
Yeah.
Depending on your assessed value, they could be considerably more. This millage and what they can do, and they have to, you know, stay within the parameters. Yes, that's the law. But just you don't want to talk about the end result here.
The so school, if the school raises the millage rate 4%, everybody's taxes in that school district will go up 4%. It'll be across the board even because it's the millage rate is the only screw they can turn to change how much people are going to pay. They can't do anything to individual property owners absent appeal.
We know that.
You know, Maria, to be honest with you. I agree wholeheartedly, and I had to live in the situation, and it sucks when you're sitting there with six other people and you're raising your own property taxes because you're not funded. Well, it's not that it's being wasted. It's not. It truly is not being wasted. It's the only control a school district has of their bank accounts. That's it. And right. it's a flawed system that we've heard for the last 40 years by our local representative that it's going to get changed, and it hasn't. And that person sits with 49 other people, and there's a few others that represent our county that sit with 100 or 200 people who have not made the choice to take that burden away from us. Your school district representatives are sitting there trying to think what they can do for the best for the number of kids that are in their district now and are going to be busting at the seams come a couple years from now because of the migration problem we have in this county. Let's be honest. But they're the people that can control it, and they don't.
Yeah, the school districts are not the villains here. We
need tax reform. We need to shift the burden away from real estate, and we need to sales
that.
And income. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But my argument at the end of the day, and I won't reiterate it. And at some point, Tim, we will sit down. Use a chalkboard or something. We'll go old school. The 100%, the 50 to 100, will result in more taxes. And Chaz, I'm a big proponent of education.
Yep.
School districts have to. I like I said, they're not the villain here.
Nope.
It could have stayed at 50%.
You know, you get kicked in the teeth enough, Maria, when you're sitting around those tables doing this, and you know, you just sit there saying, "I have no control."
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah, no. It's not the school district. That's not my point. I have no issue paying my school district taxes as they are now, come 2027, 2028. Well, we'll see then, won't we?
Yeah.
That will be the test. But again, I think it should have stayed at 50% of the assessed value. And that's where there'll be a lot of these appeals, because I think you're going to impanel at least 13 review boards, Tim.
Well, we're allowed six. There'll be up to six formal appeal boards, and I think we're getting near the top of the hour.
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll blow right through CBS.
We love the CBS news.
This is much more interesting. Trust me.
I'm just trying to be respectful.
I admire your knowledge of the heartbreak at the top of the hour, Tim.
Well, your advertisers are going to want to know where they went.
A lot of them are sitting. They just got their commercial numbers, right, so they're kind of sitting, thinking, "How am I affected by this? And am I going to be able to afford to advertise?" So,
right.
You know, this is informational for everybody.
Exactly.
Well, I think my point is clear. And again, the proof will be in the pudding in 2027.
Yeah. And Marie, I appreciate you're trying to get to the bottom of this. And I agree with you on the tax reform front. And I agree with you that we're probably seeing people that are waiting for a formal appeal because they're okay with their data. And the data's all right. And they realize, because we've told them, you can't debate value. So they're waiting for the next step. And maybe we'll need all six of those appeal boards. But I completely disagree with you on the 50% because the math is pretty straightforward.
And I think we all need to be under the understanding, Maria, you can back me up on this. This has scared the hell out of people. And, you know, it should scare the hell out of a lot more people, because if there's a max exodus of people from this county, the valuations of the properties aren't going to mean nothing because there's not going to be anybody in them. So that's the scary part.
That is a very good point, which I have raised previously. You know, the bad part of this is some people look at their assessment like, okay, I'll look at mine. Oh, man, my house was assessed at 42. Now it's 305. I can get that. Not, as Jeff says, if you don't have a market, because anybody, a potential buyer, one of the first things they look at is, how much are you paying taxes?
Well, it's interesting, Chaz, that you said that, because when I was working in Indiana County, I talked to a realtor up there. And she gave me the illustration that she was having trouble selling homes because of the lack of uniformity. Two homes, they both should sell for $150,000. One of them has twice the taxes of the other one because that county had not done a reassessment in 30-plus years. And the reassessment made it easier for people to buy and sell homes because it was predictable. You didn't have this risk of, I'm going to buy a house and the school district's going to appeal it and they're going to come whack me with a bigger number. All that goes away. Commercial property owners, there was a study done by Pell that said commercial property owners are oftentimes afraid to expand because they don't want to get hit with a spot assessment, because you can spot assess when you put a building on. If I double my warehouse space or my machine shop, I'm going to potentially get taxed pre-reassessment at a higher rate, not a millage rate, but a value, than the 30-year-old numbers that are out there compared to the competitor down the street. So people are afraid to do development. So I would argue that because it's not an increase on everybody, it's an increase on some, but it's a reduction on others, that will facilitate people staying in the county because they're paying more than they should now. And that third that are going to get a reduction, they're going to be like, thank goodness, this is a godsend.
Mm-hmm. Well, Maria, appreciate the call. We're up against it. I do have to break for some commercials. I've totally destroyed the programming clock. But
sorry.
We appreciate you checking in. Thanks so much. And call again. Hey, we got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be back with more after these messages on WPPA. Welcome back, folks. Hour number two of the program seamlessly from hour number one into hour number two this morning with our special guest in studio from Vision. Tim Barr is with us along with Chaz Hepler and Casey Owen. Great to have you guys in studio. And we got another caller weighing in. George, our good friend. George, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I've been listening to some of this like with half an ear. And I thought about this. About property tax reform, and why not something if you're a senior citizen, you don't have property taxes anymore because you've already paid your dues. Mm-hmm. You've paid, you know, all that stuff. You've paid every school tax, every tax there is. Why doesn't that happen? Of course, Governor Spendell took care of that too when he built stadiums instead of giving us our money.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I can actually address that. And it's good to hear from you, George. Believe it or not, it wouldn't be legal in Pennsylvania to do that. They would have to amend the Constitution of the Commonwealth of PA I'm not in favor of it. I would love to say that we would have an age out, you know, who owns the property. Mm-hmm. You get into some weird things like people create LLCs and the property's in the name of the kids. Oh, now you got to pay the taxes. How do you figure out the rules? But whatever rules somebody might be able to come up with, the same as when Clean and Green came about, they had to amend the Constitution to allow a change to everybody pays. They had to amend the Constitution to create a homestead exclusion. So if we were to add some sort of a senior discount or, you know, between certain ages or an income threshold, that would be really, really hard to do. So what we've seen instead are things like the rent rebate program, where if people meet certain age and income thresholds, they can get a refund on all or a portion of their property taxes if they qualify. Mm. So I would encourage people to, and that's managed by the state, but, you know, check out the rent rebate program. Make sure you're signed up for homestead because the Constitution's already amended. Get that discount on your school taxes and now on your county taxes for homestead, farmstead.
That's probably too late for me for this year, but I got what can I do that? I'll probably be able to do that. I'll be able to do that next year,
If you're not signed up for homestead yet, you can apply. Your school district typically will send out an invitation in December, and you have until March 1st to apply.
Okay.
So that's the window, and then that would take effect for the following cycle.
Okay.
When
they passed the gambling laws or rules and it went all towards stadiums, when does that expire? That all of that money, the revenue coming in, why is that not coming back to the people yet?
That's, I guess, a question I would direct to the state legislators.
Yeah.
The original Act 50 created the homestead law. Then Act 72 modified it. Then Act 1 modified it again. That's when the schools got caps put on them, and they targeted the gaming money, and that was the pitch, and that we were going to significantly reduce.
Yeah.
We all know that didn't happen. Yeah, the gaming is here. They didn't significantly reduce property taxes. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I, you know, don't pull my punches with legislators either. You know, that we said this before the break, we seriously need the state to look at reducing the burden on real estate for county, municipal, and school. When people say let's eliminate all property taxes, that's not going to happen. The government needs the stability of having a predictable tax base. Imagine if your entire tax base was based on a sales tax, and then the economy goes into a recession. Oh my goodness, nobody could fund anything. So reducing the burden on real estate is important, but government needs money to fund. So the topic about tax reform, when you get into the analytics of it, you have to accept the fact that the budget is the budget, sort of like the revenue-neutral thing. Let's assume that the school needs exactly the same amount of money. If they're not going to get as much from real estate tax, where are they going to get it from? Say, increased sales tax, maybe an income tax, maybe a flat benefits tax where you live in the school district and you're between the ages of 18 and 54. Then I picked that year because then I'd be over it and I'm at 58. then you would pay a flat benefits tax of $50. And if you collected $50 from everybody who lives in the school district, you'd get a lot of money to offset. Mm-hmm. The legislature has options that they could do. But the misunderstandings about this make it a third rail for them to touch it. So they don't. There's ones that want to.
Right. And to be honest, George, from a school district standpoint, and I said it before, you hate raising your own taxes when you're sitting there. But the other issue that comes in to factor this is the compounding of not raising taxes 1 year because of Act 1. You can't make – so if I was going to raise them to say maybe we're going to get $100,000 total, the following year we lose out on $200,000 as a school district. You not we. I'm not in it anymore.
Uh-huh.
But
force of habit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the compounding part to it is also part of the thought process because you can't make it all up in one swing. Whereas your county municipality, they can. So if they don't raise your taxes, they know next year if they needed $100,000 this year, next year they can raise it $200,000 and they're right back on track again. That's the way the process works.
Schools have to think years in advance.
Yeah.
Not to be weird about it, but, you know, they need to be more like the Chinese and think, I'm not just looking down around the corner. I'm looking 2-3 years into the future because
correct.
They need to do their budgeting with the knowledge that
correct.
Things change and that they can't raise it above the cap.
And, you know, and yeah, do I take all this commentary going on, you know, attacking the school? Sure they are, because I don't think people understand that a well-functioning, nice facility school district actually raises your property values and the selling points for your home. You're an appraiser. Am I
wrong? They don't want the value to be worth more when I'm around because, right. you know, it means taxes.
Right.
But ultimately, if they're going to sell the property someday or, you know, or even they're give it to their kids and their kids are going to own it, it's equity. So anything that raises value is generally a good thing, except when we're talking about property taxes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It just burns my butt about the whole thing with the gambling thing. How many years ago did that take place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who cares if the Eagles would have had to play their football games in Camden?
Heinz Field, Acrisure, wasn't that built?
New Jersey.
George, wasn't Acrisure, formerly Heinz Field, built with that same money for the Steelers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The Rooney's had a hand in a pocket, too, you know.
I'd go to West Virginia to play. I don't care. They're killing the Steelers.
I love you, George.
And the team from Philadelphia would still be the Beagles.
So I know you get a shot in there before you left us.
I got to get a shot in on that, Mary Seth. Yeah. And yeah. Governor Spendell. So, Spendell. You know, he was the governor of Philadelphia.
Correct, yes.
Yes. But okay, you have a nice weekend, everybody. I'll talk on Monday, hopefully.
All right, yes, indeed. Thanks for stepping up, George. Appreciate the call. Oh, God. George is anti-Eagle if he didn't get that, Tim. He's at West State. He's a Steeler fan. But I know there's something we wanted to get to as far as we talked like informal. How about some formal reviews? Because there's stuff going on out there. You're hearing all these different things, Tim. So put us straight on that.
Okay. So the phase we're in right now is the informal reviews. And as we said earlier, today at 4:30 is the last chance to call to request an informal review by phone or in person.
Mm-hmm.
You can book over the weekend up until 9 o'clock for a residential informal review on our website, vgsi.com/schedule instead of /Schuylkill. The commercials will continue the following week. Commercials can still schedule for informal reviews. And as we discussed earlier, that's a data review, not a debate about value.
Mm-hmm.
Once the official values are mailed July 1st, it starts formal appeals. There will be up to 6 appeal boards during this reassessment. Each appeal board is made up of 3 county residents with a high school diploma. That's the minimum requirements. They don't have to be assessors. They don't have to be real estate professionals or attorneys. They just have to be residents of the county that can hear information and make an informed decision. And the county assessment office is looking for people to serve this role. They get $20 an hour for the time that they serve in helping make sure property taxes are fair.
See me after the show.
Yeah.
Well, hold that thought, though, a minute, Tim, because we do have a caller on. I don't want to lose him. Fiddler is joining us on the program now. Fiddler, good morning.
Good morning. How is everyone today?
We're good, Fiddler. How are you?
I am well. I'm hearing a lot of information. I've listened to Mr. Barr while he was at the county meetings and elsewhere, and I'm listening to him today. I have not heard one 6-letter word mentioned in all of this, and it is an issue in our county. Blight. How does that affect property values, Mr. Barr, in your calculation and your logarithms?
When we reviewed I mentioned earlier today, the location of a property drives its value, its land value.
I heard that.
And when we identified the neighborhoods, and we have hundreds of neighborhoods, one of the things we looked for was blighted areas. A single blighted house across the street from someone's home, they should tell us about that, bring in a picture at an informal review. But when there are whole places in the county where there's rows of vacant, boarded up homes that either – I'm not trying to get in the way of the municipality or the county, but they either should be bulldozed or renovated. You know, that's what blight is. Nobody likes blight. And there's things that people talk about to try to promote economic development and redevelopment and all of those things. I have to value it where it is now. And if that area has a lot of blight, then the two things that that I look for, Fiddler, is number one, making sure I'm valuing the sales of the properties that do sell accurately. And what that means is if somebody bought a house in that area, it's a livable house, they probably paid less for it because of where it is. And we use only the sales from that neighborhood to determine the prices that I put on things for that neighborhood. So maybe the prices in that area are 30% less than the going rate for that township because of that influence. There could be other influences. You're near a landfill. You know, there's a variety of reasons that people pay more and less. By creating these neighborhoods around blighted areas, the first thing I can do is make sure that my values are tracking the sales. The second thing that I can do is to make sure that I'm very careful about how I handle flips. There are properties that buy and then they renovate it and then they sell it. You know, there's all these shows on HGTV, Flip My House. If the price was before the renovation and now it's renovated, it's going to sell more like the normal stuff. But if they, it's the other way around. If they renovated it and then sold it, then that price is a normal sale. If they bought it distressed, that's not a normal sale. So I have to identify properties that are like that and try to make sure that I'm valuing them correctly too. Because the properties that are, you know, you probably have two interests in this. The owner of blighted properties doesn't want to pay any more than they have to based on what it's worth. And the people in the area want to be sure that I took it into consideration that there's blighted properties around. And we make an effort to do both of those things. If it wasn't enough, if the value that we put on it, the owner still feels no way I would get that for it, well, then they should file the appeal, the formal appeal form, and present it to one of those six boards.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, part B for the question is that there is a blighted property within 20 feet of my home, and yet my paperwork that came to me over a month ago stated that my county taxes were going from $600 up to $400.
Wait.
Okay, so what's that matter now?
Up or down?
66%?
600 up. To 4. What was your old county tax?
$600 to $1,000. $600 to $1,000. A $400 increase, which is 66%. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. The value of my home, whether you want to take it the way it is or if you wanted to double it because it was only half, was $33,000. Now I get a paper that tells me $277,000. Living aside of a condemned home that's owned by a New York slumlord for the past 15 years.
Okay. So remember I said just a few moments ago, if there's a property where there's a single blighted house next door across the street, I would take a picture of that and bring that to an informal review.
Sir, I did that.
And they may have made some adjustments to that, and you'll find out the result with the July notifications of value.
I was told in an email sent back to me that they could not save those files of the pictures I sent, which I sent six of them, one of which had the roof collapsed. Okay. That would come with the formal review. So informal, they didn't do anything. I had to call the informal because the square footage was off considerably.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you went through that process because that's the point of it. We don't keep copies of people's pictures. That I don't want to make that part of the public record and subject to open records and all of those things. What they would have told you at the review is that there's a limit to what they can do with that. They might have made a change to some of the data, and square footage is obviously easy to do. But if it's a really serious situation, the house is really close to yours, it's a really bad blight, they're not allowed to make major value judgments at a tabular data only.
During the informal process.
So basically, you bring those same pictures again to your formal appeal and show them to the board. And they'll be able to look at the aerial imagery and see the area and how close the house is. People take pictures of their own houses. They don't always think about this, but I like to have Google Street View is great, but not every road has that. Stand on your porch and take a picture of what you're looking at. Because that's going to – a buyer that's looking to buy the property, that's what they're going to do. They're going to stand there and they're going to look around and be like, oh, crap, I don't like that thing across the street.
That's why I had six of them and not just one.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Fiddler, and I don't know whether your value is still 277 or not. Probably not if the data was changed. But let's say it ended up at 250. It doesn't matter that it was worth $33,000 before. That's 30-year-old monopoly money.
I understand that part.
And even the $600 to $1,000, if you were underpaying, you need to pay more. If you were overpaying, those people need to pay less. So the number that ultimately matters will be that formerly 277 number, and what do you think that it would sell for? And I say that not just to you. I want the listeners at home to know, at the end of the day, it's about what the probable typical selling price would be for their home. And if we're within 10% plus or minus of what they think it would sell for, then statistically that's the goal. The truth is that standards are we should be within 15, but I like to be closer than that.
So this new paperwork that will come soon, you're saying July 1st, mailed out, possibly, well, it should have the 200 square footage reduction because I have a softbox design and they didn't know that because you don't come in the house. So you're just measuring foundation and doubling it for two floors. So, yeah, 200 feet had to come out because of the cathedral ceiling.
If we had some of it as a two story and they changed it to cathedral ceiling, then if that changes the value, which it likely is from what you're describing to me, then the revised value will be on your July 1st notice.
Right, because you know what a saltbox design is. You've been in the business. A saltbox design, cathedral ceiling, two story building.
Right.
It's not a solid second floor.
Yeah, I have a two-story living room in my house. My wife hates it because the heat just goes upstairs and it's harder to maintain the temperature.
Circular fan on a
I have two circular fans out there.
It doesn't hurt the oil
bill. We had to put scaffolding up to put those fans there, but yes. But okay. No, that there's a difference between second floor and – but I will also say this, that still adds value. That cathedral ceiling adds value. It just doesn't add as much value as living area does.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for answering my questions. And Jay-Z, Chaz, and who's the new girl there?
Casey.
Oh, she's been there, but now doing more.
Okay. Yes, correct. Correct. Yes.
They bounce around,
aren't we all?
Yeah. Yes.
Don't get them any coffee, though, Casey. Let them get their own.
Exactly.
Fiddler, you're the man. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate you stepping up. We're going to take a quick break. Hold that thought, Tim, because I'll get in trouble again. We can't have that. Quick break. Back with more after these messages on WPPA. There we go. Welcome back, folks.
It would help if you turned on your mic.
Everybody else is on, for God's sake.
So selfless.
I'm telling you. Boy, so quick to pounce on me, too. Gosh almighty.
It is tough crowd. Friday.
Working with a tough crowd. Yeah. Jay-Z, Chaz Hepler, Casey Owen, and Tim Barr from Vision in studio. We're going to go back to our phone lines where Bob in Schuylkill Haven joins us now. Bob, good morning.
Morning. How are we doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. So Tim, I have a unique issue here, I think. We built our home back 2021 is when we moved in, and somehow Vision is telling us that our property value increased more than two times. So I'm confused how we came to this price when everybody, including a builder, a bank, the buyer, the insurance company, all of said a price was solid back in 2021, and in 4 years, now I'm compared to a six-bedroom, six-bathroom house that recently sold. So how do I rectify that?
Have you been to an informal review or scheduled one yet? Because if you haven't,
I did do that process. Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, first of all, whatever, even a house that was built in 2021 had to be valued with the 1996 price per foot and price per acres, because that's the base year of the last reassessment. So from an assessment standpoint, they valued that new home in 21 at 50% of what it would have been had it existed in 1996. I know it seems crazy, but this is Pennsylvania law. That's why we need reassessments every 3 to 6 years. Then you make little adjustments. You don't have these big jumps like we're dealing with now. So,
sure. So here's my issue with what you're saying, because if you double the assessed value, that's more than the price I paid to build. And the average person would know that typically you end up paying a little more to build than it would be to go buy the same property.
Well, what we're going to look at, what it costs
to build. What I'm saying is, you're telling me that the value of the home, what you're saying doesn't make sense, is what I'm getting
at. Let's skip over part of this that doesn't matter, because I want to help you focus on what's going to help you. It doesn't matter what it costs to build it. It only matters what it's worth today. It doesn't matter what the county assessed it for back in 21. It only matters what it's worth today. You know, we had a caller earlier that had a tax increase.
Sure, sure. But if you're telling me the 96 value is the same value that I built it for in 21, what I'm saying is we were what's known as spot assessed. And in that spot assessment, that didn't use the 96 value. That used the current value.
Well,
when they assessed me and I doubled the assessment to $400,000, I built my home for a little less than that, 350 range, and now today, 4 years later, you're telling me it's worth $750,000 for a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home. That doesn't make sense.
So I don't know if they made any changes at your informal review, and obviously we can't repeat that over the phone of the details. But
Correct.
You will find out with the notice that goes out July 1st what the new estimated value is, and maybe it's 750 still, maybe it's not. But based on the data that you told them, then that might cause the value to change. If you don't believe, let's say it stays at 750, worst case scenario. If you don't believe that it's worth that, and again, the 350, 400, even in an appeal, doesn't matter. It's too long ago. If you have other properties that have sold in your area that are similar to yours, ideally, or if they're better than yours and sold for less. This is actually a good transition.
And they're all below $400,000, so I'm confused how you came up with a $750,000.
Okay, well, and Bob's actually given me a good transition into something I want to make sure that I explain before we run out of time today. So if you'll let me do this, Bob, I think it'll be helpful for
you and
for the listeners. What happens at a formal appeal? You're sitting there with these three board members. It's not a court. You don't need an attorney. You don't have to have an appraisal. You certainly don't need an appraiser. Normal years, the county, you have to have an appraisal and an appraiser, but the rules are different for a reassessment year, and the county will be soon publishing the instructions for that. So by the time they go out July 1, everybody can get the latest rules. So it starts with, this is just an administrative meeting with three board members, and there'll be somebody from the assessment office or one of my people running the computer. The issue, the total issue, is whether it's worth 750. We'll use Bob as an example. The issue is whether it's worth 750 bucks. The board's going to say, well, Bob, we have the county has you at this point. It's the county, not Vision, because it's the official numbers. We're mailed July. County has you at 750,000. What do you think it's worth? And do you have any evidence to support that? If you have an appraisal, you'll give it to the board and they'll look at it. That's not a ticket to getting it set to what the appraiser said. And we could talk about that in length, but let me keep it simple. An appraisal is the best evidence of value, but it's not a ticket to just automatically get that number set. Most people aren't going to get appraisals at this stage. They're going to do their own research. They're going to go on the county website. They're going to look at sales. They're going to go on other websites. Don't look at the values on those other websites. Look at the sales on those other websites. And it sounds like you've started to do that, Bob. So if you know that there are other properties in your area – don't pull them from another township that are similar to yours, same number of stories. If yours is a bi-level, pick bi-levels.
We did the same borough, same school district. So perfect. We did all of that.
Okay, perfect. Make sure that you're not comparing two stories with one stories, because the formulas and the sale prices are different. Those aren't comparable, to use the technical term.
Well, I am similar to that last caller that said about the big ceiling. So they did fix that in the informal appeal review. So
maybe you'll start off at $700,000, but whatever it is, go in there and be prepared to say, based on my research, I think it's worth $500,000, not $700,000+. You know, you can joke and say, I don't know where these guys are coming from, but the board needs to hear from you what you think it's worth. And here's a list of sales that you've done, and you can give them a copy of your spreadsheet and say, these are properties that are sold. And they got a computer there. They can call them up and look at them and say, well, Bob, sorry, this thing's twice, this one's half the size of yours. You've got 3,000 square feet. This only has 1,800. So you're not considering that. Or maybe it's a perfect match. And then they're going to look at all of that. And then they make a decision. The three of them together will decide what they think your property is worth. And that's the way this works. So
isn't the end.
The
thing is, like I'm sure many others are sitting at home saying the same thing as me, if I could get the value that you're putting on my property, I'd sell it today, and I'd go down the street, build the exact same home, pay the mortgage off, and have an extra $100,000 in the bank. So it's almost like you made me hit the lottery here, but I got to pay like $12,000 in taxes a year, which is obviously I'm not going to be able to sell this home based off of the tax that you're recommending. One other thing I wanted to bring up is not necessarily a vision thing, but in the process I realized that the county assessment is almost stuck in Y2K years. So they will only calculate your property to two digits of an acre. So if your property is 1.15, they're going to round that up. Or if it's 1.115, okay, 1.115 acres, you now pay taxes on 1.12 acres. So that's a bit of an issue that I'm seeing as well.
Yeah, all of the legal area that the CAMA uses has always been to two decimal places. And honestly, when you get to the third decimal place, that's not changing the value. That first acre, I'll put it this way. Two identical houses, one on an acre, one on the three quarters of an acre, they don't sell much differently. You don't pay for every additional square foot. There's an economy of scale that plays into that a little bit.
So Tim, you're saying I don't need a lawyer or an assessment or an appraisal at this point.
You definitely don't need a lawyer. If you're going to go to common pleas, if you don't like the decision the board does, which you'll get in the mail, then you're going to want to appeal to common pleas. And by all means, it's good to consult an attorney, because now it's not a court hearing in that sense, but it is in the courts. So there's certain hoops you got
to
do.
Let's say I make it to that point. Am I able to also get my lawyer and my
No, I knew what you were going to say. No, it's an administrative process. In fact, this comes up. People will say, oh, I want to do a class action, or I want to sue the county. Because there is an administrative process defined in the law, which is formal appeals, common pleas appeals. Technically, you could take it to the Commonwealth Court if you wanted to. Because there's an administrative procedure provided by law, there is no conventional legal way to go around that, absent a large-scale class action, and those never go anywhere. You need to get yours right. I will say this, because out of 92,000 properties, maybe yours is over-assessed, but people assume...
Yeah, I think it is.
People assume that these numbers were intentionally made high. I have no reason to intentionally... In fact, it'd be easier if I'd have made them low, because of the millage rate discussion we had. Mm-hmm. The millage just ends up equalizing it. So I'm making it what I think it should be. Where did I get that number? Why do we have a number anywhere near $750,000 on Bob's house? The reason is because there have been sales in that area of other homes where we've gotten a price per foot.
One down the road went for like $600 a couple years ago, but it's a completely different level of home. It's not comparable one bit.
Well, and again, I'm not looking at your specific house, but the point is there's a price per foot. And if we have too many square feet in yours, maybe it extrapolated. And we had sales at 600 and 650 that were smaller than yours. And that's where the 750. There's always something in the math that's revealing that. And the source, the point is, the source of these values are what people paid over the last 3 years, 22, 23, and 24.
Sure, which is like the same thing I paid to build my home. So, again, doesn't make a whole lot of sense since I was assessed after the build, after the prices increased, but yet still I got to deal with this. So either way, Tim, I appreciate your help. I have to get moving here. I hope my questions helped the average public out there as well, and thank you, you guys, for giving me time on your show.
All right, Bob, we appreciate you. Check back in with us. We appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you.
You need to get a sounder for first-time callers or something. some kind of thing to recognize them.
The wheels are turning.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, the wheels are turning. But as we wind down, I want to make sure that you won't get everything across that you need to get across, because we have about 10 minutes left.
Well, Bob did a nice setup for me because I wanted to make sure people knew about these formal appeals. Mm-hmm. People shouldn't be afraid to go through that process. If the value's in the ballpark, there's no reason to do a formal appeal. It doesn't cost anything other than your time to do a formal appeal. If you get an appraisal done, obviously that's going to cost $300-$500, and that is the best evidence of value to bring. If it's wildly off and you verify the data and you get the value in July and it's still wildly off what you think, mm-hmm. then you should maybe talk to an appraiser and see if, or even a realtor that, you know, tell them you're thinking just about selling a house and maybe they can help you with a CMA. Decide whether it's really off or it's just your perception that is changed, because the market is different today than it was.
Amen.
We've had this came up before. Well, isn't this a horrible time to do a reassessment because the market's inflated? The market is artificially high right now. And I won't dispute that the market is high. We've seen whether it's out-of-state people buying land or, you know, the same thing happened back when Marcellus was kicking off. People were paying stupid amounts of money for land because they thought it might have oil under it.
Yep.
We have to go by whatever the market is, whatever it's doing. And that's pushing the millage rate down, locking in the initial millage rate lower, as Chaz did a good job explaining for the schools. It sets a floor for them and for the county and the municipalities. Those lower millage rates set the stage for the future with these higher numbers. If the market declines, if 2 years from now the market drops significantly, well, at least the millages are still low and the values will still stay high. Mm-hmm. The irony is, if the county were to do a reassessment when the market drops, they will have to equalize to a higher millage to be revenue neutral. So it doesn't change. You don't reassess because of common level ratio.
Right.
You reassess because uniformity is bad. So if part of the county is better and part of it's not, over time, that's when you want to do an update.
All right. Let's see if we can get one more call in here quick. Doug joins us on the program now. Doug, good morning.
Good morning. So what I gather is a lot of this is your location. So you guys know, well, Chaz, and you know where I live. I live in Union Township, but there's not a Union Township road in front of my house. I have to go pretty much in Ringtown Borough. My mailbox, if I'm standing at, I'm in Ringtown, but my house is in Union Township. So you're telling me that has a difference in my value.
Each neighborhood and each township potentially has a different rate. I don't know if the price is different between Union and Ringtown without looking, but let's assume that it probably is. If your property is unusual because it's in Union, and let's say, for just hypothetically, that Union was more expensive than Ringtown, but your frontage is in Ringtown, that's not something that's tabular in the data, but it's something you could express. If you think that would affect the value of the property in a bad way, that's something you could certainly present to the appeal board.
Okay. Because I was told that that's probably why that my value's crazy. If you guys think my house is worth, you say what it's worth, I'll sell it to you with a 20% discount. You could have my vehicles with it too. it's high. I mean, it's really high. There's one other thing. I can't remember what it was.
And Doug, you did do an informal review then, right?
Oh, I have mine scheduled on Tuesday.
Okay, good deal.
Because there was some square footage that's wrong. Like they have that. I have a finished attic. I don't have an attic in my house at all. And then part of my garage they have as livable space,
One quick comment on the Finished Attic thing, because somebody misunderstood this earlier in the week. If the website says Finished Attic, if it's a 1.5-story house. So if it's like a Cape Cod, that is finished. We're not adding any value for Finished Attic. The sketch is going to show that there's finished upstairs over the first floor. And people have gotten confused about the fact that in a 1.5-story house, or even a 2.5-story house, if there's living space on that third level, that it shows on the website as Finished Attic. But they'll sort that out with you on Tuesday.
Yeah, so it says here, like it says first floor, and then finished half story, and then finished attic.
All on the sketch?
I have like cathedral ceilings, so we only have like half of an upstairs where we have two.
Well, they'll go through that. Are you doing it in person or by phone?
In person.
Okay, I like those better personally, because then we can look at the sketch with you. We've had slightly more phone reviews than we've had in person, but it's been 60-40.
Well, and I just got to say, I think this was the best. You guys did a great job today asking the questions, and I think this was better than any of the things you held at the schools or anything else. I think this was great today. A lot of information, and I hope that you guys could get it saved and put it out so people could listen to it on their own time later today.
Oh, it will be.
Hopefully before 12:30. Yeah, not to put any pressure on you.
No,
Mr.
no
Z.
Pressure on Casey. I mean, oh, yeah, that's right, me. Right. Thanks, Doug, for the call, buddy. Appreciate it, and good luck with the review, my friend. Alrighty.
Maybe they just should have asked us to travel with Tim and do this similar kind of setup instead of sticking you up there in front of about 60 to 70 wild people screaming and yelling at you all the time.
I've had 1,200 people at meetings like that. But there's a reason we don't do them after the notices go out. Because I use questions like Doug's and Bob's as examples. But it's impossible at a large public meeting or even in this fashion to conduct a personal informal review for somebody.
Right, correct.
But we can still talk about the concepts and frankly, most importantly, steer people in the right direction so that they can get things fixed if they're not right. It's been 30 years since anybody's visited every single home in the county and looked at all of these properties. It's been 30 years since the values have been brought to today's level. Mm-hmm. It's been 30 years since the millage rates went down. Mm-hmm. This is a big jump. It's a lot going on. And I don't want people to be afraid of the process.
Right.
We are here, both Vision, the assessment office, and the county commissioners, to help people through the process. The law defines the rules. Some of it's policy that I set so that I can be consistent and uniform and have predictable values. But ultimately, I want the right value on as many people's properties as I can. I think it's a good thing when people come in for an informal review or even for a formal appeal. It doesn't hurt me or it doesn't hurt the county or the schools. Nobody loses any money if Bob comes in and gets his $750,000 house lowered to $650,000 or mm-hmm. whatever it ends up being. Mm-hmm. The millage just ends up being a tiny bit higher in November than it would have been if we'd have cut it off in July. And we know that's going to happen, which is why my estimates are anticipating that there will be corrections. There always are corrections.
Okay. Exactly.
That makes sense.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's tough asking these questions in one of those large group meetings because mm-hmm. you have the people that are there and, you know, that are genuinely and rightfully so upset about the whole process, not understanding what's going on. So it's tough. Like at North Schuylkill for the first one in the second round, I was in the back of the room and read the front of the room, and I'm not asking anything.
Well,
at this point,
those meetings are for large scale questions. The personal touch, whether it's by phone or face to face, is far more effective. In fact, I did something new on this project that we haven't done before. The commercial informal reviews, their letter came with a questionnaire on the back asking about rents and how many units do they have. We used to just mail that out, ask people to fill it out and send it in, but they always had questions and they'd want to talk about it. So we'll just talk about it at the informal review. We'll fill it out together. You know, do what you can. And if you don't have anything for that questionnaire, don't worry about it. They can still come to a commercial informal review. I've seen commercials where the roof's caved in and we didn't know about it. Hasn't been used in years. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously have to adjust that. Mm-hmm. And as I think I might have mentioned earlier, we have a lot of properties that are not used for what they used to be used for. Mm-hmm. I had a lady bought a restaurant. It's not legally allowed to be used as a restaurant anymore. They'd ripped out some of the plumbing, and they were going to rent it as a mini storage. Okay, cool. But it doesn't sell the same as a mini storage, frankly, one cut up, not designed for mini storage, as a restaurant would. Mm-hmm. So all we have to do is change the codes and let it apply a mini storage rate. And that gets us closer even before somebody has to go to a formal appeal.
Good deal. Well, Tim, can't thank you enough for joining us on the program. Have to have you on if you can sometime when these next letters or batch of letters goes out in case folks have questions out
Absolutely.
There. So, and for the folks out there who may not have heard or came in midway through the program, we'll have it posted on our website. And
hopefully before 12:30.
Shortly. And it goes on to Spotify, Casey, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. this will be on Spotify, maybe Apple, if they like to accept this episode, but also on WPPARadio.com/Let's Talk.
Awesome. So, Tim Barr from Vision, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Have a good weekend, and I'm sure we'll be in touch down the road, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank everybody for listening.
Tim.
You're listening to WPPA Pottsville.